Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday night, October the 21st, 2025, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio, and we are so glad tonight to be joined via telephone by the Democratic candidate for governor. We've wanted to have her on for a long time. She joined us for a brief interview last Friday morning, and tonight she has graciously come back to discuss her life and times and what she wants to do as possibly the next governor of the state of Ohio, Dr. Amy Acton. Dr. Acton, how are you?
Good, Scott. Thank you so much for having me back.
Good to have you back with us. Wanted to start off here talking about your childhood tonight. A lot of people wonder where you came from. You've talked about being from the Youngstown area. What was it like growing up?
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm definitely an Ohio girl. I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio. Had a pretty rough childhood. Lot of neglect, a lot of abuse, frequent flyer of children's services, actually lived in a tent in the middle of winter, but still went to school, and finally, at the age of 12, my brother and I were removed from that situation, and we moved literally a mile away, but we stayed in one school for the next 6 years. I actually got in med school right out of high school, an accelerated program here in Ohio, and, you know, my life got so much better, but as I often share with folks, a lot of the reasons for my almost 40-year career now being a doctor and everything I'm doing now running for governor really come from that childhood and the feeling of not wanting to look the other way. You remember when you're growing up as a kid when people do look the other way. But I mostly remember the people in life who didn't. And I've always been haunted by the kids who are left behind, who are just as smart and just as nice. And Scott, if I could just say, you know, whenever I'm saying my story personally, I often think that I'm never the only person in a room that saw a thing or two in their childhood. You know, up to 50% of our kids are living in poverty in parts of the state, some places even higher. And so I know I'm not alone. But you know, I really, really feel that we're living in a time where maybe not all kids will get the same opportunities I had, and a lot of my work is based on that.
You know, not to be too personal about this, but a lot of people go through, as you said, things when they're younger. What sort of abuse did you go through as a child?
You know, we were very poor. We moved a lot. There were times we didn't have heat. There are times we didn't have food. I actually lived in a tent in the winter, as I said, and that, you know, clearly is not a normal thing. A lot of physical and sexual abuse as well, sadly. And it's actually one of the reasons I'm so passionate and I've actually been calling out my opponent to join me and asking for the full release of the Epstein files because, you know, I think, you know, one of your jobs as governor is to keep people safe and well. My whole career has been fighting on issues like this, and I think it's just so important that we don't look the other way when we see bad things. It's so important to take a stand, and this is where that comes from, at least for me.
Being a victim of sexual abuse and homelessness, how did that impact you personally? How does that make you think when you're just doing your normal everyday activities?
You know, I think one of the things that I keep sharing with people is when you're a kid like that, you notice when adults look the other way. You notice that it's hard for them, and now that I'm older, obviously I'm almost 60 years old, I think a lot about the fact that it probably wasn't that people didn't care, it's just it's too overwhelming. You don't know what to do about something, and I think a lot of people feel that way right now. We're living in a time where we're seeing a lot of things that are overwhelming. People are feeling overwhelmed by the cost of life, by sort of the chaos and the hate and the vitriol they're seeing, but they don't know what to do about it. But what I often say to people is, I remember more the people who didn't look the other way. You know, the people who would pull my brother and I up on their front porch and feed us breakfast as we were walking to school on the north side of Youngstown because they knew we were hungry. And, you know, this is a big part of what made me be a doctor and then ultimately the type of doctor I am, which is preventive medicine and public health, trying to get out ahead of the really hard things for communities and in the case of my job as director of health, the whole state. You know, I've been trained to solve some of the wicked hard problems that affect our health and well-being and our prosperity across systems. And it's because, you know, I'm haunted by the kids I left behind. And I think that does change you. I think it makes you scrappy. I think a lot of times folks say, is she tough enough for this? And I think, you know, I didn't get through my childhood or work three jobs to get through med school and do all the things I've done as a doctor, including around the world and some of the hardest conditions, you know, do what I did in COVID, do the things like raise a family and take care of aging parents if I wasn't tough enough. But I think way too often we keep mistaking kindness for weakness, and I see that as a huge mistake. And I do think a lot of my understanding of what people go through comes from my childhood.
After going through a childhood like that, and I'm not sure about if your parents are still with us, have you been able to make up with them, or is the relationship okay now?
I was removed from my mother at the age of 12, and that was the last I was to see her, and I don't know because she disappeared. My father did live long after that, but he has since passed. Of course, I'm almost 60 years old now, but I've had a lot of other people that have helped me in my life. And, you know, we all don't get to pick the chance of our birth, you know, and that's so much of the important stuff we do in this life we have to do together. I often tell people we gained 30 years life expectancy in the last century, but only 5 of those years came from everything I learned in med school. The other 25 years came from things that we have to solve together. It started out with clean water, safe food, child labor laws, traffic safety laws, the list goes on, public schools. You know, so much of what gives us our high quality life comes from our relationships, the people around us and the community around us. And, you know, I really do feel that whether it's your birth family or not, so many people can make a huge difference, and I do feel so grateful even to this day for the people who helped lift me up.
Dr. Acton, so many people remember you from the pandemic, the director of the Ohio Department of Health at that time. You did the daily press conferences with Governor Mike DeWine, and a lot of people wonder, what was and is your current relationship with Governor DeWine? Was it a good relationship? Is it still a good relationship if you were to see him?
Oh, absolutely. I can't say enough. It was an honor and a privilege to work with the governor, and particularly to go through such a really hard time for all of us. You don't try to save 11.7 million lives, you know, and not fall in love with the people of Ohio and fall in love with all the heroes who really stepped up in what was, you know, such an unprecedented experience for all of us. The governor, I've continued to advise him over these years, talked to him not long ago, and I, you know, the important thing I think for folks listening is that what I travel the state everywhere. I've been on the road for almost 2 years, listening deeply, going places candidates maybe even haven't been in a while. And the thing is this, people everywhere are longing for public servants who solve problems instead of making them. They don't really care much what party you're in, to be honest, and we're seeing these record crowds that don't know party. What they want, you know, is you to work on the 95% of things that most Ohioans are talking about. It's not these extremes. It's not culture things. You know, I'm hearing people talk about costs and affordability. They're talking about child care and being able to afford a home, their energy bills going up, their health care costs going up, being able to age in place with dignity and being able to afford property taxes. The governor and I didn't agree on every issue, but we were both very, very, very dedicated to solving problems. And to that end, I will always say it was an honor and a privilege.
Dr. Acton, former Governor Celeste, has endorsed you. You probably have a closer relationship to the current Governor DeWine than any of your opponents do. Do you think that he might endorse you in this race? And was he happy to learn that you were running for governor, even though you don't agree on every issue?
You know, I can say that, Governor DeWine can best speak for himself. Yes, I am very honored to have been endorsed by Governor Dick Celeste. Ted Strickland has said he believes I will make the best governor. We've had endorsements, a couple hundred now, and we've also been endorsed by people like Jim Pietro, a Republican. I think what is most important is I've had the honor of working with governors on both sides of the aisle. Many of the governors helped us during COVID. I don't know if everyone knows that. You know, it's a very, very unique job that you very much learn by both in for myself in my training. I've been trained to do this kind of work. I've worked, you know, back in the 90s with people on both sides of the aisle to solve hard problems like, you know, Betty Montgomery and Joanne Davidson. And, you know, the problem now, though, is back in the day, we used to argue about some stuff and come up with different ideas, but we'd always end up at the end of the day with a solution that you could actually take out and implement and help improve people's lives. I think working alongside Governor DeWine, I saw how very, very, very difficult it is because, you know, our state house isn't functioning the way it should. With the gerrymandering, with a lot of things happening, we're really not being able to as effectively solve the problems Ohioans need us to solve. And unfortunately, we've also seen a great deal of corruption. What people in Ohio are longing for is people to get back in there and start solving the problems of everyday life. So, you know, I'll work with anyone who's willing to do that.
When Governor DeWine heard you were going to run, was he happy about that or okay about that? Maybe not an endorsement, but did he say anything?
I'm going to keep our conversation to us, but I can say that he continues to be someone I can go to and be very supportive, so... Yeah, thank you for asking.
Yep, very, very interesting. One of the things in this race that's a big issue right now, the Republican Party has endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy, but the Democratic Party has not made an endorsement yet. Tim Ryan, we don't know if he's going to get in or not. He passed the date that he said he was going to make this announcement. How do you feel about possibly having a primary?
You know, what I can tell you, Scott, is I've been out here almost 2 years. I've been formally running for governor for the last 9 months. We've been so lucky. We keep seeing these record crowds. Everywhere we go, we've had a lot of endorsements, as I've mentioned. And I've stayed laser-focused on the people of Ohio, listening deeply, learning from everyone everywhere we go. And I'm very, very focused on my opponent, Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, this election, I think, is one of the most crucial we will face. And I'm running for governor because people in this state are struggling. They're doing everything right, but they can't get any breathing room. And unlike what my opponent says, he says folks are just not working hard enough. They're lazy. They're mediocre. That is not the Ohioans I'm meeting. I'm running because people are struggling. They feel unseen, and I refuse to look the other way while special interests and bad actors in the state house keep taking the state in the wrong direction on nearly every measure. And my opponent very much is proposing some of those same antics, and I'm focused on the people of Ohio.
If you had to describe Vivek Ramaswamy, your opponent, to somebody, how would you describe him?
you know, what I'm most focused on is the fact that, you know, as you mentioned before, I've lived a thing or two in my life, and I have a really strong sense from a lifelong career solving these issues of what people are struggling with. And, you know, what I notice in what is said by my opponent, that he just doesn't seem to understand what ordinary Ohioans are going through. I mean, right now, he doesn't even spend that much time in our state. He literally is everywhere else. He flies across Ohio in his private jet to go from Columbus to Cincinnati or Columbus to Marion, and he's treating literally the state as a flyover state. He seems very, very, very focused on a lot of the same failed policies that have gotten us where we are in the state. We have gone backwards on nearly every measure, from health care to education. I'm very worried about his stances on schools. He literally has taken $10 million from a gentleman named Yass in Philadelphia, who he $10 million into a PAC because this guy wants to end public schools as we know it. Public schools saved my life as a child. Many places in the state, that's all we have are public schools. I can tell you this is a unifying issue everywhere I go. Public schools are the center of our communities, our way of life. We actually invented public schools in this state. It was a contract that was made in inventing Ohio in the Northwest Territory. Every so many blocks of land were left for a public school because it was known it would improve our economy, it would improve our way of life, it would make us an educated citizenry. And actually, my opponent has literally said he will end school teachers' unions as he knows it. I'm very, very worried about his reckless claims around property taxes. We all know we need meaningful tax reform. We need immediate relief for folks, particularly through the homestead exemption, so that folks that are aging in place can stay in the homes they've been in their whole life. But the ideas and things he's putting forth, I think, will be very harmful for Ohioans and continue to move us backwards on nearly every measure.
You know, Dr. Acton, a lot of people support you. There was a new Newsweek poll out today for the audience listening that shows you within 3 points of Vivek Ramaswamy. I believe it had him at 50%, you at 47%, and there's a 4.5 margin of error in the poll, so this is a neck-and-neck race. And there were a lot, of people who like you. I was at the No Kings rally here in Marion over the past weekend, covering the event. Ran into a gentleman. I said, "Who do you think should be the next governor?" He had very glowing things to say about you. But for the people who know you from the pandemic and only know you from the pandemic and say, "I don't like what she did," I'm sure you've heard this before. The decision she made hurt my business, or I don't like the way it was handled. What do you say to get those people to vote for you?
Well, you know, I'll start first, as you mentioned, what you're seeing in the polling. And, you know, I'm so honored. Everywhere we go, we keep seeing these record crowds. I can't say this enough. It does not know party. We're seeing tons of independents and Republicans. And there have been several polls that show just what you said. We're neck and neck race. But that I'm actually ahead of my opponent in independents, and Republicans are crossing over. What I can tell you is a bond happened during COVID. I have a very unique constituency that doesn't seem to know party. I have a voice because of something in a way people are attaching to me. It isn't typically political. You know, I'm a doctor. I'm not a politician. But I am a lifelong public servant, and, you know, I'm proud of Ohio. Ohioans in COVID flattened the curve. We saved a lot of lives in this state. And we actually reopened earlier and got back to our lives faster because we took swift and decisive action. It took a lot of sacrifice from all of us. But the heroism in the state knew no bounds. I can't say this enough. I hear the stories everywhere I go. And I'm very, very proud of what Ohioans did. You know, I was a part of the very early emergency part of it. And I can tell you, Ohioans' first reaction wasn't the chaos and the hate and the vitriol that we see so much today. It was actually to help save one another, and it was an honor and a privilege to be a part of that.
Dr. Acton, two quick questions here, and then I'll let you go. I know you're very busy, and it's been long days as of late. You've told us a lot about yourself. We feel we know a lot about you, but what is something that we would be surprised to know about Amy Acton that you have not told us?
Oh, that's a fabulous question. Well, let's see. Right now, I am driving down the road as I'm speaking to you. I am coming actually from Cincinnati to Columbus. My husband is in the car. I would probably say I'd want people to know that I'm a pretty ordinary person. You know, my husband, Eric, is a 43-year elementary school, public school teacher and a coach. He literally teaches at the same school he went to since he was 4 years old, and his mother still lives down the street. Together we have six kids, two grandkids. We have one on the way any moment now, so I'm very excited about that, our youngest, my daughter. And, you know, we reached a point in watching just this chaos and hate and vitriol, hearing the stories that we are privileged to be hearing all over the state. It truly is a privilege to listen and learn deeply from Ohioans. And we just made this decision together that we couldn't look the other way. If there was something we could do to help begin to bring us all back together again. You know, this doesn't end. This, we've been going back for a while in the state, and it doesn't end just by electing one person. You're going to be seeing me doing a massive call to public service. We are going to go after gerrymandering again in 27, because gerrymandering is what's keeping a lot of great public servants from both sides of the aisle working in our state house to solve the real problems that 95% of Ohioans care about. I can't say enough. Everyone's talking about the same stuff, from healthcare costs to affordability to energy bills to aging in place. What we are facing right now, and this is why people like us are stepping forward, is that this is no longer about Republican or Democratic or independent person. This, right now, in our country and in our state, is about extreme power, special interests and wealth versus everyone else. And it's absolutely, what I would say to everyone listening is, whatever it is you see that you can't unsee, it doesn't even have to be me, but whatever moves your heart, because I think so many of us feel paralyzed sometimes when we see a lot of the things going on around us, what can we do? But whatever it is that is moving you, whatever it is, grab a few people, bring them with you, and get to work on it. It will make you feel better. It will help pull us back together. Because the number one thing that will save our democracy and help us heal in this moment is our relationships, and we can't afford to give up on one another. And I want to say that no matter how many billionaires come to take this state, I have absolute faith that the people of Ohio are going to say collectively in October and November of 26, and I hope they're out there very strong getting out the vote right now for November, look, you cannot buy this state, you cannot buy Ohio, and you can't buy us. If enough of us do the right thing, we'll all get through.
Dr. Acton, quick final question here. If you were to win the gubernatorialship here in Ohio, you would be the first female governor in the state of Ohio. We have not had a female president. We have not had a female mayor elected here in Marion, Ohio. What does it mean to you to be a woman and possibly the first female governor of Ohio?
Well, you're absolutely right, Scott. We have never elected a woman governor or senator. We know that Nancy...
Kaptur.
Oh, no. Hollis?
Oh, Holt, okay.
Yes. George Voinovich is lieutenant governor, served for 11 days. But look, Kansas has had, not exactly a blue bastion, has had three woman governors. One of them, Kathleen Sebelius, John Gilligan's daughter from Cincinnati. Michigan looks like they're about to get their third. it's not about whether you're a woman or a man. What you have to be governor are four things I think all people should be looking for. First of all, you have to be able to raise the money. We're very blessed. We've set records. We've had a record number of individual donors. We've seen more donors already than most candidates ever see running for 2 years statewide. You have to have a path to victory. We are in a very competitive race, and we have a very clear way to win this. You have to actually know how to do the job. I've been trained for this job. I've worked all the levers of government. I've worked alongside governors. But you, most importantly, you've got to care. You've got to care deeply about helping serve the people of this state, and that's what I think we need in a governor.
Dr. Acton, as we close this out, I just want you to finish this sentence real quick. Dr. Amy Acton is...
I am another ordinary Ohioan. I've spent my life and my work refusing to look the other way when I see things that I just can't unsee. The work you saw me doing so far, serving Ohioans, I never intended to be on your screen every day, but there we were together. Honor of a lifetime to do that. But you need to know this is the work I've done my whole life, just like the work you do your whole life. But if enough of us do the right thing, most of the time we're all going to get through, and I know what this state is capable of when we row together, and it will be an honor and a privilege to fight with you all to create the state where we are and having the best world-class education for every kid and workforce, the best health care in the state again, the best jobs, and nice things. Like, we could be the best park system in the United States. There's so much more we could be doing for one another when we do it together, and I'll be with you every step of the way.
Dr. Acton, I know you stay very busy. I'm so glad we were finally able to get together after some time. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Scott. It won't be the last, I hope.
You're welcome here anytime, and I hope when you
I'll
come to Marion,
there in person.
We can do
yes,
it in person.
Thank you.
Dr. Acton, stay well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye. Dr. Amy Acton, she said she would show up here and do the interview on League of Women Voters Night, and she certainly did, and we appreciate her for doing that. Very, very important guest there. Dr. Amy Acton. All right. Well, 42 minutes past the hour here. Boy, this is perfect timing. I think Matt is, but don't trip over the cord. God forbid. We've got things going on here in the studio. Well, Matt, did you hear the interview with Dr. Amy Acton?
I heard most of it, yeah.
Well, what'd you think? I think we got through a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, I think it was good. I mean, I think it was, I mean, I don't know. It was a little shorter of an interview than I would have liked, but I mean, I understand it is rather late at this point in time.
It's been a day.
Yes,
it's been
has.
A day. It's been a day.
So, I mean, there's that. But no, I mean, I thought the interview was good. I mean, you know,
I think that's interesting. She's been through a lot, and her and Governor DeWine still have a good relationship. Still
yeah,
talk.
I thought that was, you know,
I haven't heard that anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and she's.
I was also unaware that she was endorsed by DeWine. I figured DeWine.
I don't think she's been endorsed by DeWine.
I thought
Celeste.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I misheard or misunderstood.
You know, she's honest. You know, you can tell that this is somebody, as she has said, who is not a career politician. Simply.
Oh.
I mean, I think that's not hard to tell here.
Well, she's a doctor.
Right.
I mean.
But what a life! I mean, living in a tent. And all that comes with that. I mean, that's a rough childhood.
Well, yeah, that's rough. I mean, people like a rags to riches story, I guess, though.
Hey, phone lines are open. We've got to 16 minutes. It's been a night, the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. That was interesting. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got something to say about Dr. Acton and the interview we just conducted, or the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. And by the way, I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 8:15 until 10 a.m. It's interesting that, well, what's your take on Candidates Night tonight?
Well,
by the way, anybody who was listening, at one point, I got to, we were... It's done in a different way now. I did not realize that every question was pretty much going to be for every candidate. And when you're trying to keep that straight in your head, who has spoken and who has not, I'll tell you, that about fried my brain tonight. It came pretty close. At one point, I said to myself, I didn't have a pencil up there, so I couldn't mark off where I'd started the last time around. And I got to the point with Halloran, and I thought, I think he's already answered this question, but I couldn't remember, and I didn't want to skip over him. But only happened once, then I got the pencil.
Well, that's good, you know.
You know, the brain is just, you know, got a little squishy there at one point.
I don't know. I mean, I listened to listened to what I could, at least, the entire time we were live, and, you know, it sounded good. I mean, I didn't recognize any, I didn't recognize any slip-ups like that.
Any winners or losers, in your opinion, tonight?
No, I mean, I don't think any, they all kind of just agreed with each other a lot of the time.
And by the way, Robert Landon showed up. Give him all the credit in the world. He showed up. So, I got nothing to say there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, being there's always good. I think I've said it before, I'd rather, you know, answering questions always better than not answering questions. Talking's
good for him. Good for him. You know, he's big on the Charter Commission thing. Good for him.
Yeah.
The mayor did not show. And did not send a message as to why he was not showing.
He was supposed to be there, though?
Well, yeah. There was no... we thought so. He was seated.
Well, I guess he had other... I don't know. I guess he had other plans.
Well, that's the way it goes, I guess.
Yep, you'll have that.
Anybody else? Chief McDonald was there. Yeah. Mark Russell was not there.
Yeah, Mark Russell wasn't there.
Now, does this have any impact?
Prater
long-term?
Wasn't there.
No, Prater said he had surgery. He did send a note.
Yep.
I don't know. How do you think the city council people did? That was interesting to see them all together like that. That was something I was.
I mean,
unaware of.
Like I said, I think the city council people agreed with each other a lot. Like, I don't know. If you agree, then agree, I suppose. Keep it honest. But, I mean, you're not really giving me, or not me, I don't live in the city. You're not really giving anybody any reason to pick you over anybody else. I mean, I think they all just agreed with each other most of the time.
It's very interesting. And by the way, again, the phone lines are open tonight, 47 minutes past the hour. We got about 13 minutes before we're going to wrap this whole thing up. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'm sure we will air the broadcast again at another point. All the things that went on here tonight, you have no idea. My goodness.
It was interesting.
It was an interesting night, to say the least. But again, the phone lines are open if there's anybody still up and out there tonight. 740-383-9944. So, we delivered on everything. Candidates night, Dr. Acton, there it was.
Good.
You know, I will say it was hot in that room. I was surprised how hot it was.
I paced back and forth the entire time.
Paced?
I walked back and forth the entire time.
You know, I forgot how long 2 hours was to be there in one spot.
Just standing there.
Standing there, going through the questions, trying to time the thing out right. I think we got out of there on time.
There were some good questions, though.
Yeah, again, not asked by me.
Yeah.
Or not created by me. They were asked by me. They were not created by me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yep.
But good night all the way around. Right. So that was your first League of Women Voters Candidates night, right?
Yes.
What'd you think?
It was about what I expected. I mean, it was good. I think it was better than I expected, honestly. Just because I didn't know how, because with the city charter commission, I didn't know, because a whole lot of people, I didn't know how that was all gonna work out. But I think it ended up working a lot better than I expected it would.
What'd you think of that group?
The city charter
people? Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people on there who, I mean, are either, employed by the city, have been employed by the city, or don't want the charter. Like, what are you going to do? Like, if you don't want the charter, what are you going to do if you win and you end up getting put on the charter commission? Are you just going to put, like, essentially just copy-paste the statutory city down into a, a charter and then call it a day. Like, I don't really understand what the point of that is.
Well, it kind of showed to me once again that there is some kind of disconnect. There are three groups here. A group that doesn't want the charter, a group that does want the charter because they want to get rid of the auditor and the treasurer, and a group that wants to change a whole lot of things. And there are three different groups there. And I don't know, I thought some of those questions about how you're going to work together are very important.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're not working together, nothing's going to get done.
Do you think it's possible to work together if you have that diverse of a opinion on this whole thing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like too many chefs in the kitchen, I guess. I think there's just too many people, and too many people have different ideas. I mean, just, you can't get, you know, I mean, if you're getting 15 people to agree on the charter for the city, the constitution of the city, I don't know about all that. That's a rough way to go.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll have, you know, there was not a gigantic outcry tonight for the charter. So, again, I don't know if it's something that's going to drive voters to the polls.
Yeah. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of interest over the charter. I mean, there were questions, I guess, but I don't know. Also, they went over some stuff at the very beginning with the I can't think of the fellow's name, but
Gary Hunter.
Yes, with the so got just I guess a rundown of city charter there.
Well, it was an interesting night. And again, if anybody's got an opinion or a question or a comment that they want to weigh in with, feel free, 740-383-9944. We can talk about the Amy Acton interview. We can talk about the League of Women Voters Night. Anything you want to talk about. I suspect the audience was very good tonight. 740-383-9944. And thank the people at Marion Telecom for all they did.
Yeah.
Did YouTube and gave us an extension for our sound.
They had a whole army of people there.
They did. They know what they're doing. They've got a professional bunch there.
They do, yeah.
That's what you want.
You know, I like it. You know, I've dealt with some sound people. He's a good one.
Yeah, he's very, very good.
There's some good people. The
very, very good. Gave us a good feed.
Yes.
Yeah. You were listening on the radio. Had your earbuds in. How was that?
Sounded fine.
Could hear everybody?
Yeah, I mean, the Gary Hunter was a little shaky, but I think that's probably just because he was, Skyped in or whatever they did.
Yeah. What's the other thing for Skype? You know, it's not Skype now, it's something, Teams. Or Zoom, or what do they call it? Is it Zoom?
Zoom stuff?
Isn't that we all used during the pandemic, Zoom? What was it called?
Well, I think, I didn't know Zoom was still a thing. Yeah, I mean, I guess Zoom, but I didn't know Zoom was still a thing. I won't lie to you. I thought Zoom kind of died.
Did you learn, were you surprised or did you learn anything tonight?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I was really surprised. Well, I think we've kept up with the I don't know, city council and then things like that relatively well. So, I mean, it made a lot of sense, I guess.
Does it mean anything that the mayor didn't show?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it means something that he didn't. I mean, he obviously didn't tell them that he wasn't going to be there. I mean, I guess it doesn't even matter that he didn't give a statement, but obviously, the you know, they thought he was going to be there, so there was zero communication there. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there were a handful of people who weren't there.
No Jason Schauber.
Yes, another one. They had Jason Schauber's name there as well. So he also did not, I guess, provide a reason or let them know he was not going to be.
No, kind of an odd set of circumstances there tonight.
Yeah.
You know, maybe these people feel they don't have to show up. I don't know. There could be reasons.
Well,
we'll wait and see.
I mean, if there was, I mean, like, I think that there, like, Jason and, I think there were people who like, I mean, Jason's got, like, the name recognition. He's been on city council for a long time now. So, I mean, I think that this is just, you know, I think people know who he is. And as far as Bill Collins go, he's the mayor. So people tend to know who the mayor is.
Nothing nasty tonight, I didn't feel. I didn't think there were any nasty questions.
I even think they agreed with each other a lot tonight.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what is so different about parties and politicians and issues? I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of difference tonight.
Not really. I mean, I don't... No, I mean, I think the only really difference was the whole city charter. Besides that, I mean, the city council, with the questions given at least, tended to agree on most of it.
Yeah, it was a very odd set of... I don't know, just most... All of the League of Women Voters events that I've done at some point got a little hostile. And there was no hostility there tonight, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, you only had to cut people off a couple of times, which is good. And everybody stayed within their allotted time limit.
I'll tell you, that was a weird setup because I was far away from them. I was like in a different planet. I was in a different time zone. I don't know. I've never done that either, where everybody's in the center of the table and I'm like way down there.
Well, usually isn't like the moderator's like, you know, because you're...
Yeah, but usually there are people...
Questions to the people.
I'll tell you why that was difficult. And I did not expect... Number one, short answers. Very short answers. Not a lot of time to think or try to read a question that you might want to use, because we didn't use all the questions. So that was a problem. And then number two, it was... Every question was asked of everybody. So you were trying to remember who had answered and who had not. Because, I mean, there were, you know... How many people in city council? The city council race? 1, 2, 3, 5?
Yeah.
So you're trying to remember where you started and who answered and who didn't? I mean, Lord.
I think I got... Well, I can imagine, because I was taking pictures. Which, by the way, they got that thing locked down like Fort Knox. Terry got in trouble because he was taking videos, so he had to get rid of the videos, because apparently that's not...
Oh, they flopped him around?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Apparently you're not allowed to do videos. And then at one point, I was taking pictures, and they came over to me and said, you're not taking videos, are you? And I was like, no, just pictures. You're like, no audio? And I was like, nope, just pictures. And they were like, all right.
You gotta watch those people. Well, the league has very strict rules.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I just thought it was just funny, I guess. But I mean, no, I mean, I had no complaints about the rules. It was just, I mean, it was just funny. But but the whole reason I brought that up is I can imagine. I have pictures, and I wanted to get pictures of everybody with the mic in their hand. So that's why I have a billion pictures. But So I had to keep going back through the pictures and be like, who have I seen with the mic already?
So
I can imagine when you're up there doing it.
Oh. Yeah. And the lady who was timing it, she was way down from me. I just had to look for the red. When she held up the red card, I knew the time was up.
And also, like, because I had my earbud in listening to the broadcast, I really could not... Like, I really wasn't even... I mean, I guess I was, you know, I was at the event, obviously, but, like, I really wasn't even paying attention, because, like, I was 15 seconds behind in my ear, so I couldn't really hear what they were saying anyways, and I was going to hear it back anyways, so I was like, whatever. I just started walking back and forth listening to my earbud.
So did anything hit you as interesting?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody really, I mean... There were questions about the finances of the city that I don't think anybody really answered. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, not really. But I figured that's, you know, that about fits.
You know, somebody's ghost is probably going to have to do these events. I don't think I can stand for that long anymore. I might need to go to bed for about 6 months now.
Yeah, well, you know. You might have that. I don't know.
That's what's going to happen. I'll be in bed for 6 months now.
Standing in one spot is just terrible.
In a room that's hot and you're trying to go through car... But those league people, they are nice as could be.
Oh, yeah, the league, yeah, they did great.
Yeah, so it was an interesting night.
They had cookies and, like...
Oh,
and, like,
punch.
Cake and ice cream and... Or not ice cream. Hot dirt... Coffee. That's I don't know how I got ice cream out of coffee, but yeah, they had, you know, the whole nine. They were set up.
I don't know if I'll be back here tomorrow morning. I might be here at 8 o'clock in the morning to do 2 hours tomorrow, but, you know, I might take a nap during that time. And so I want somebody to call in the morning so I can take a nap during the show tomorrow.
You have a real windy story.
Oh, it's been a night. It's been a night. Well, I thank Matt for being here and all that he did, and Sean for all that he did tonight participating, and Terry for all that he did, and the League of Women Voters and all the candidates who participated, and Dr. Amy Acton, who's out there on the road running for governor. Did she sway any votes tonight, voters? I don't know. Guess we'll find out. I think she has some interesting stories to tell. For this night, from Marion, Ohio, Scott Spears from the studio, for all of us here at WGH Talk, heading for the dugout.
They get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll,